Good morning, brethren. Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Psalms 119. I'll be reading verses 169 through 176. Psalms 119, 169 through 176. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise for you. Teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments.
Thank you for those songs. That's the scripture reading, Jacob, for the song. Good to see everyone. Good morning, friends and brethren.
Good morning.
We have a good number this morning. Honored by your presence. The Lord is honored by your presence. We have visitors this morning. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Such a blessing, such an honor to be here. It's a beautiful Lord's Day. You know, let's look at Acts chapter 28, right off the gate, out of the gate here. And I just want to look at what Luke recorded here as we begin discussing the sermon this morning. Look at verse 24. Let's see in the Word of God. Paul is discussing his work in Rome, and really after a protracted Bible study, he says this in Luke says this in Acts 28, verse 24. He says, some were convinced by what Paul said. He said, but others disbelieved. When we talk about evangelism, when we talk about the things of preaching the gospel, we don't usually talk about this passage. When we talk about preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, and evangelism, we like to talk about passages like Acts chapter 2, where thousands and thousands of people were obedient to the gospel. And what we say usually when we see that recorded in the scriptures is, we just need more preaching like that. We just need more teaching like that. Because more evangelism will lead to more responses to the gospel. But the truth of the matter is, for many of us, our efforts in evangelism look a lot more like Acts 28:24 than they do Acts 2. Because we talk, we preach, we talk some more, we teach some more, we show, we do all those things, but yet some disbelieve. Not everybody's going to be converted to the gospel. Why is that? I wonder about that sometimes. I mean, becoming a Christian is the greatest thing you'll ever do in this world. All of your sins are forgiven. You got a fresh start. When you die, you go to heaven. It's incredible. And best of all of that's free. And you think about that, why aren't more people become Christians? I think about that. I think that's an important question. And I think we as Christians need to learn more about why people aren't becoming Christians. Why are the unbelievers out there? Why aren't they flocking to this assembly? Why aren't they wanting to know about Jesus Christ? I think we need to answer that. And I think in order for us to be more effective in our evangelism efforts, we need to know some answers about that. And really, a lot of times we're talking, we're doing this, and we're puzzled. And why somebody doesn't respond, and they're kind of over there trying to, hey, just leave me alone, really. A lot of times is the response we get when we begin talking about the gospel. You know, this morning I want to get a handle on that by telling you a real-life parable. And maybe in this little parable, I guess it's a mini-parable, I want you to make some observations off of the parable I'm going to tell you. Once upon a time, that sounds like a fairy tale. Not a parable. That's how I'm going to do that. There was this fellow named Jeff, and he got a new iPhone. And that iPhone, I'm telling you what, it was the shiniest, prettiest thing. He bought out that little box, and it's so pretty. And there were some papers in it. And along with that iPhone came some earbuds. quite a few of us. And one day, Jeff was wanting to listen to some music. So he said, hey, I've got those white earbuds. So after I untangled them, I put them in there, and I put them in, and I noticed that they weren't very, I don't know, they weren't very good. They fell out of my ears, and they were goofy, and, you know, just they didn't fit well, and different things like that. But I used them anyway. And now, for all the Apple nerds and T-Rex, I know that I couldn't quit doing that in 2015. But by the time they quit giving out those free earbuds, there were like 800 million of those things sold. And so what happened is I kept using those earbuds, and that, you know, and I noticed they weren't the best, but they came with the phone. So in my ears they went, and so that's the parable of the earbuds. He who has earbuds wasn't right here. And maybe the question that you might be asking is that's not much of a parable, I know, but why don't people become Christians? And I want you to think about that mini parable as we discuss why people don't become Christians. Because when you think about the Apple earphones, they really aren't very good. They break easy. The sound's not very good. But why is that? Why don't I want to get better earbuds or earphones to listen to my music? And in the same way, I'm going to ask the question, why are people buying into the gospel? Why are people becoming Christians? This morning I'm going to give you three reasons why I think, as you think about those earbuds, that maybe will help us a little bit in our evangelistic efforts, because folks, we need help in the evangelistic field. And folks becoming Christians. We want more and more people become Christians. I think one of the things that I have to say about that is, I'm going to say something, change is hard. We need to realize that change is very hard. What's the easiest thing to do in your life? Just what you're doing. Just keep on doing whatever you're doing. Don't change. Don't challenge yourself to change. Just keep doing what you're doing. And just much like that, so just like, hey, I'm going to listen to some music. What's the easiest thing in the world for me to do? Just go to that box, untangle those things, put those earbuds in. Because I'm not changing it, and they came with their iPhone, and I'm just going to keep using them. And the next thing you know, what happens is, you're in some kind of pattern with those earbuds, because they're always there, you've used them before, they're not the greatest. And I don't want to do anything different when it comes to listening to music with my iPhone. What do we tell people about Christianity? Hey, I'll tell you what, it's easy. Being a Christian is the most simple thing that you can do. I'm telling you what, you know the Bible has laid out five simple steps for you to be a Christian. If you can be a Christian just very out, just sit down here and I got you can read the Bible, it's just right there, you can become a Christian right now. Do you know that? To us, it looks easy to become a Christian. To us, it looks simple to become a Christian. It's just easy, it's not complicated at all. But I want you to think about it. How does becoming a Christian look to a non-Christian? You think about that? Acts chapter 8. Philip meets this Ethiopian man. The man is reading the Bible. He's studying Isaiah. A lot of things are going on. Philip is going to try to help this man go from being a Jew, go from being a follower of the law of Moses, to becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now all of that begins to happen at verse 35. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, nobody knows how long that took. Nobody knows how long that instruction took. Nobody knows how long that chariot ride was as he discussed Jesus of Nazareth to him. But he reached a certain point, and it's like, hey, I want to do that. So the next time somebody says that faith always saves you, all you got to do is believe. He confessed Jesus Christ, and if he was saved then, why stop the chariot? Why go down into the water? Why all that mess? Just do that later. No, he knew that part of preaching Jesus and of being obedient to the gospel was baptism for the remission of sin. But he looked at that, and I look at that, and you know what? Becoming a Christian is a learning process. Becoming a Christian, folks, is not a knee-jerk reaction. It's something that takes a little time. It's not a quick decision. How does good faith come? Faith, Paul says, comes by hearing. It's a process. Hearing what? the Word of God. That's going to take a little time. That Word that you hear, that Word that comes from the Scriptures, God's Word, what does that do? That produces faith. That Word germinates to produce faith. And then what does that produce? Well, that's going to produce, hey, wait a minute, there's going to have to be change in my life. This change that's necessary in my life. My life's all going wrong. This isn't going to work for me. The Bible calls that repentance. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Paul's in Athens. Look at verse 30. Acts 17, Paul's in Athens. He's trying to effect some change there. He begins to preach there. Notice what he says in verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked what? The times of ignorance. He says, God is now declaring to men that all people, all men, everywhere, should repent. Well, about now, maybe some of you think, you know what, maybe to a non-Christian, it's not so simple. And begin to realize, you know what, change is hard. Repentance would be hard. To change somebody's heart is hard. It's hard to get the right information. And all these questions that of yesteryear you never heard, how do we know this book's true? How would you answer that? I mean, the Bible's a big book. How do I know this isn't fake news? And how, you know what? This Christian life, I see you doing all these things. Even if I did it, I don't know if I want to. And you have all this, so you know what? I've got all these questions. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to say like I am. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to fool with it. I'll just stay where I am because that's easy. So no thanks to your invite to church. Forget that BBS. No thanks to your gospel meeting. No thanks. No thanks for you asking me to come or sit down, have Bible study. No thanks. It's just changed too hard. You know what? When we talk about this, we're talking about a default position. You know what a default position is? It's the position that's natural to you, that you're sitting in right now. Those earbuds, they had a default position, it was off. But you know what? I think that means that you and I need to realize how big a task it is to pointing somebody to Jesus Christ, to pointing somebody to the cross. It isn't that simple. It isn't that obvious to a non-Christian. It just isn't. And recognizing that, and knowing that, I think that's a big step forward. That I need to get folks interested and try to get them a little bit interested in what I'm doing and what I believe and acknowledging, hey, it might not be as easy for you as it was for me. And you meet somebody, and you know what? You've known them for 5 minutes, and the next thing you're doing is talking about baptism. Well, that's too much change. That's too much change too fast. We want to go from A to Z in 5 minutes. Not going to cut. Not going to do that. So it's easy just to keep using those headphones, not change, even though they're not the best. What's another reason to just keep using those headphones? Well, because better ones cost you money. You know, I did a little researching. Yeah, they got some wood grain looking things. Pretty. And I know that they're better than in white cheapos. And cheapos, that's pretty. And you know what? They're like $500-$800. $500-$800. You know what the ones I got cost you? Nothing. And $800, $600, that's a lot more than nothing. And I know they've got great sound. I know they're this and that. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spend money on that. Turn to Luke chapter 9. I want you to notice this expensive passage. Verse 23. Luke 9:23, he says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily. Now, we reject this passage a lot, simply because of the society that we live in. The cross, why doesn't go on that much for folks to read that? But everybody in the Lord's time, when the Lord walked on the earth, knew what the cross meant. It meant death. And the instrument of your death, you're carrying that cross. And anytime you see somebody carrying a cross, you knew they were going to die. They were going to give up their life. You knew that. And so we parallel that. And carrying your cross doesn't mean that you're religiously in a noble way. You've got some jewelry hanging off you. That's not it. That's not what that means. You take up the cross, you were going to die. And you were going to die in the most horrendous and difficult way. Look at 14. Luke chapter 14. Jesus said, if you come after me, you've got to give up everything. Think about that. Take up your cross daily. Look at Luke 14, verse 26. Anyone comes after me or to me does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yet even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Christianity is expensive. Christianity is really expensive. It's free, but it's expensive. How will that work? Paul told the Corinthian brethren. He talked about the Macedonian brethren. You know what they did first before they gave anything? They gave themselves. They gave themselves to the work. They gave themselves to the Lord. Everything that you've got, go give to Christ. That kind of price tag becomes a hurdle for some folks. You know why? Because the headphones you got, they work. They're all right. They might not be the best, but being a non-Christian, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, man, it's cheap. You don't have to give up anything. That doesn't cost you anything. There's no denying. There's no changing in your life. There's no changing in your relationship. Everything's just fine. So, what do you say about that? Well, how do you go about telling Jeff a new pair of headphones when he's already got some headphones? And he likes it? Psalm. Notice the psalmist in Psalm 34. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, O taste, he says, Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see the Lord is good. How blessed is the man to take refuge in him. I love that passage as I'm looking at that. You know, I hate sales metaphors when it comes to the gospel. We do buy the truth and sell it not. But if I see somebody, if I was a salesman with a fancy earbud, and I see somebody that had the cheap white, what would I want to do? Well, I want to say, hey, buddy, hey, you need to try these things. Hey, there are 10 times what you've got in your ears. You have to try these. Take those things out of your ears and try these. Verse 8. Taste and see that what the Lord is. What is the Lord? He's good. What if non-Christians could look at how Christianity is to you and to see in you that it's worth the expense? Do non-Christians see in your life that Christianity is worth the expense, that it's worth the cost that you gave your life? What you say, how you act, what you're involved in, where you go, what you do. Plus, the way we live was attractive to non-Christians to make them ask you, hey, this life that you're living, it looks expensive, but it's good, isn't it? You must love the Lord, don't you? You be careful. We're talking about cost and expense. Because I'll tell you what, you know what? There's a lot of churches who want to cut the cost of Christianity. They want to cut the cost of discipleship. It's the American way, isn't it? Got to give a discount and everything. And you know, get the coupon out. That's what we do. Now, a lot of churches have done that. There's discounted Christianity out there. They make being a Christian a lot cheaper, a lot better deal for you, really. They make discipleship, you know, a lot easier, but that's why we read those passages in Luke. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus never does that. The Lord never does that. He never says, hey, listen, you really don't have to worry about that whole thing about giving all to me. You just give a little bit here and there when you feel like it. Don't you worry about it. The Lord never does that. Now, the result of a lot of churches doing that and selling out Christianity, the results have been, I'm going to say, disastrous. And people saying that they're converted. When truly, according to Scripture, they're not. Folks, cheap grace is no grace. I'm telling you. Discounted salvation is no salvation. None. We can't do that. We must not do that. But we could. We could help people see Christianity in action. When people see the life that you live and the love and devotion that you have for the Lord. You think your life that way? Do you ever think your life that way? Is your life an evangelistic life to the people that know you? You know, we think of evangelism as a program, don't we? Oh yeah, elders of education knowledge, we're going to throw some clips. It's a thing. I'm telling you, evangelism is not a thing. Evangelism is you. Evangelism is your life. Projecting the life of Christ. Paul takes that. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. That's Paul's take on it, really. Colossians chapter 4. Notice what he says in verse 5. He says this, Colossians 4, verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom. Colossians 4, verse 5. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of that opportunity or the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond. He says these first, and when you look at that, Paul thinks if we live right in verse 5, we'll get a chance to say something in verse 6. That's what he's talking about. How do you push that parable idea just a little bit? If I saw somebody that I didn't know wearing those really cool earbuds, and I would be going, oh, oh, oh. And I wouldn't approach them though, okay? But if I saw Kitty Rex wearing the earbuds, you know, I would just say, hey man, hey, what you get this? How much does those things cost? Or let's stick them in my ear. I want to, because I think, well, you know, he'd say I'm barring off brandy, is what he'd say. But I wouldn't ask a stranger about those things. But I feel comfortable about asking T. Rex. You know, are they good? Are they worth it? Are they worth the experience? You know, I feel okay about asking him. And so, you know, if the people out there that kind of know you but don't know you, and they see the life that you're living, and they would like to know somebody, to at least ask a little bit about this Christian life that you're living. Because I will tell you something, to a non-Christian, the life that you're living, if you're living it as you should, it's a complicated life. What are you doing all this stuff for? How do you act this way? How do you show up here all the time? There's a lot of questions that we just take for granted. The people ought to know, they don't know. And they're not going to ask a perfect stranger. They're going to ask somebody that they know. Philemon. Don't get a preach out of Philemon, no. Let's turn to Philemon. I want you to know verse 10. We don't know everything about how Paul met Onesimus, but I want you to look what he says in verse 10. I appeal to you. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my prison. Paul met Onesimus, and what Paul did before he converted him, you think he went right to baptism in 5 minutes? No, he's a stranger. He struck up a conversation with him, struck up a relationship with him. I'm wondering if you and I can build better these friendships and better relationships. Well, we're just not so preachy and judgy with everybody. And that they can look at our lives and say, right there's a disciple of Christ. Right there's somebody that loves the Lord, loves the truth. I'm wondering if we can do better. And have a relationship where somebody feels comfortable about asking about those earbuds. And feel confident in you. I wonder if we can do that. We need to do that. People need that. Which brings us to the third point. I know what a lot of you are thinking about those headphone business, but you know, the reason people use those headphones is, I'll tell you why. They're good enough. They're good enough. You know, I know they're not great, they're not super comfortable, but they're free. When I run the sweeper and I do the dishes and I clean house and dust and I do all the things I'm supposed to do, I got them in and they're just there. I mow the grass, I do all that stuff. You know, you know what messes up a lot of our evangelism, our efforts to do evangelism? We think as Christians that non-Christians are miserable. We think that people that aren't Christians and what they're involved in, whatever they're involved in, their life, well, they just can't be happy. They're just as miserable as they can be. They're wandering around lost. Unbelievers are just deeply dissatisfied. And their way of living, well, you just know it's not working. You know they just can't be happy. Oftentimes we hear people say, what? Jesus is the answer. You've got trouble, man. Jesus is the answer. You got kid problems, Jesus is the answer. You got financial problems, Jesus is the answer. That's what everybody's saying. Hey, Jesus is going to make your life better. The problem is, non-Christians don't have an answer they want. Jesus is the answer. I don't have a question. I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I'm good as it is. We don't think that way, do we? In fact, the Bible actually says that. Proverbs chapter 2. Notice what the wise man says about wicked people. Sometimes, wicked people are not dissatisfied in their ungodliness. He says in verse 14, chapter 2, they just rejoice in doing evil, and they delight in the perverseness of their evil. Wicked people are not necessarily sitting around thinking how miserable they are. Ungodly people are sitting around thinking, well, I've just got to work life all the time. And they think what they've done is working. Now, the devil's done a great job of that, and some Christians, too, or so-called Christians, that we're just fine where we're sitting. The devil's done a great job in that, and that he gets them to think about that, distract him, or however he does that. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians. That's what he says in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. He says, in what case, or whose case, the God of this world, what's he done? Blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. He says, who's the image of God? So a lot of non-Christians don't get it. What are these Christians running around on Sunday, doing all this stuff, going here, going there, being involved in that? It seems complicated. My life's complicated enough. I'm really doing just fine where I'm at, and my life's good enough, and it's always going to be that way. I feel good. It don't bother me with Jesus. So sometimes what we try to say to them, I'll tell you what, listen, hey, you don't know how miserable you are. Life with Christ is going to be a lot better. I don't know how much better it can get. I got a good life. Oh, with Jesus, your life's going to be a lot better. Hey, come on, let's make God. What's the problem with that? First problem is it's not true. You obey the gospel, guess what happened? Persecution. Persecution top of the list. They obeyed the gospel in the Testament times after they did. They threw rocks at them. Persecution there. Well, your problem is, hey, if you become a Christian, boy, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a great set of headphones. Do you know that? You're going to have the best life you ever had. It's going to be the greatest thing for you, your family, your wife, your marriage, your finances, your kids. Everything's going to be great. Is that right? You know what that is? That preaching the gospel is about you. That preaching the new gospel. If I do this, I'm going to have all this. I'm going to have better headphones. Problem is, the gospel's not about you. The gospel's about Jesus Christ. Christianity's about Jesus. Christianity's about following Jesus. Christianity's about glorifying and honoring God, getting ourselves to be right with God. Why Jesus died for you? Romans 5. Paul does not say that becoming a Christian. Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verse 5. Will make your crummy life better. To make your better, the life you've got better. He doesn't promise that. That's what he says in Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's read. Let's start at verse 5. I like this text. Romans 5, verse 5. Paul again. He says this, beginning verse 5. And hope, he says, does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's the non-believer. That's the ungodly. That's the sinner. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man some will dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The truth of the gospel is, you're a sinner. The truth of the gospel is you're a rebel. The truth of the gospel is you have violated the laws of God. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus died for everyone, revealing his kindness, revealing his mercy, revealing his grace. But yet, what have we done? We have lived to please ourselves. That's the truth of the gospel. And that means, I think it's about time that we begin to preach and teach that instead of all this other junk that the non-believer is hearing. Notice in Colossians. Paul again, chapter 1. Look at verse 13. He says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear and beloved Son. You know, that's hard for a non-believer to comprehend. That's hard for me to comprehend. That's hard for you to comprehend. Me in the domain of darkness? Yes, you in the domain of darkness. Yes, you are lost if you're in that condition, in the darkness. That's what means preached and taught. That you're lost. You are a sinner that will be condemned to eternity unless you are transferred to the kingdom of light. What we really need to be doing is saying you need Jesus Christ for what? For forgiveness. You need the Lord for salvation. That's the truth of the gospel. You need Christ to be transferred where? From where you're at in the dark place to the kingdom of light. That's what Paul said. Christ died for the ungodly. Let's be candid. You know, most non-Christians aren't thinking that at all. You're not thinking your life's bad, are you? I'm doing pretty good. And you know, I've not done a few bad things. But really and truly, I haven't done any scandalous sin. I'm a pretty good guy. Everybody else tells me so. And you know what? I look around. I listen to the news. I read the papers. And I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people out there a lot worse than I am. But you know what I am? I'm just like them here, brother. I'm good enough. I'm going to make to hell. I'm good enough. That's what your non-Christian friend, neighbor, and loved one think. I'm good enough. Can you see how this Christianity thing about Christ is going to make you happy? Completely and utterly fails as a non-Christian. Well, I've got good enough. That's absolutely not the gospel message. The message we need to share is you're lost in sin. Jesus died for you because you're lost. Please get some of those out. Evangelism is really pointing out to people that Jesus has saved them from your sin. And you know, that's Paul's message, and that message again in Acts 28. It wasn't always well received, but you know what Paul didn't do? Paul didn't change the message to fit the people, did he? He didn't reshape the message. He didn't preach a different message. He preached the same message that all the apostles preached all throughout the New Testament. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He didn't change that. And you know, I think about those earbuds, and I think about somebody coming up and saying, hey, what do you think? Now, they're expensive. They'll cost you a lot, but they're well worth it. And I think about us and a relationship that we can have with our friends and neighbors and relatives. And as a disciple of Christ, the life that you're living, that they see that. And that might instill in them to ask about your eternal salvation. Because I'll tell you, our response is this. Jesus said to you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples of them. We need to do that. We desperately need to do that. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." If you're in this audience and have never done that, I don't care how good you are. You're not good enough. You won't make it to heaven. Jesus promises that. Good enough? Not good enough. The cost of your salvation was the blood of our Savior. And we react in humility and thanksgiving. Nothing legalistic about this. This is a reaction to the love of Jesus Christ. You simply want to humble yourself before His grace and mercy. What a great day it would be if this day you became a Christian. Please come. Let's together we stand and sing.